Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio. We are still in Taormina, and we are here with Udi Aloni.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Director of Junction 48, which is here in the competition, and with that we met already in Berlin. Fred, you talked with my colleague Chiara in Berlin, and what happened since then to the movie?
What happened since then?
Besides the awards.
The awards is a nice part because, you know, Berlin, to get the audience awards is the best because it's like 30,000 people voting, and I love the Berlin audience always. And also all my previous films, I always open them in the Berlinale. So it's not just the prize, but it's a home, in a way, a hometown. And then Tribeca was very important for me because there is a big Jewish community in New York also, and you know this film have a very, very strong sympathy for Palestinian. So it was a good test to see if people can see through their ideology, like to get rid of their ideological glasses and really feel the story, the cinema, the quality, the longing for normality. And so the prize in Tribeca was very meaningful on this position, almost in a political I know it's funny, I'm a director, I should be try to take as many compliments for my art, but something, it was politically, I felt better in New York after they gave this prize. And then we show it in Israel and Palestine, and this was really so, there was almost a small miracle that many Palestinian citizens of Israel that never go to the theater, of course not to Israeli theater, came really by thousands to the cinema to see this film. And we suddenly created the situation that never been before, that every cinema was a mixed audience of Palestinian and Jews, and we got many letters from that, from those theaters. So you know, maybe the biggest distributor in Israel took it, United, and they thought, okay, we have, even though Wood is a radical leftist, but he make a very cool film, we'll distribute it. But they didn't believe to see so much mixed audience in their theater. It was very beautiful, and the letters we got was one very nice in Arabic to Tamer, said, when you sing Palestine, all the Arab were cheering. When they sing Am Israel Chai, like Long Live Israel, all the Jews were cheering. When they destroyed the house, we all were silent. I love this film so much. Letters like that, many, like almost like little poems that gave us a bit hope because, you know, we created a film that Jews and Palestinians work very strongly together in a time of very heavy hate.
Oh, yeah.
Like really hate above any imagination. In this place we create kind of an island that create something that the world consider as extremely high quality. I think it's a small achievement in my pessimistic life.
Well, actually what you just say is something that is shows like the fact that very often people are much, much further on than politics and media, because you know that kind of communion between Israeli and Palestinian is something that media is telling us that can never happen, but then it happens.
I still think it's happened very rarely. I'm sorry. Yeah, it happens. You know, I use this analogy for our film of Noah Ark. You know, when there is the flood around and we cannot stop the flood, like Israel government now is hyper-fascist in a level you cannot imagine. The Arab Spring became a terrible winter. So we all, as we, the community of people who feel about justice and equality, we're very few, we feel very lonely. But creating this film, it was like we create a Noah Ark, a place that keeps this beautiful language. We invited people in, and it seems that many more people came into our Noah Ark than we imagined, and that's our little miracle. We are not changing the world, we cannot, but we keep a language that when those pervert fascists will destroy themselves, we'll be able to step out and offer a better language in a way.
And listen, how did you work to create this arc, you and Tamara? I mean, because this was his first attempt as a screenwriter, and you did you together with him, there was like a kind of guidance on your part, or it just came to you with an idea?
Tamer and me are friends for 16 years.
Okay, so this helps.
It helps a lot. He was on my first film as a young kid. I was more kind of a mentory thing then. And then after he was on the second film, on the third one he was already a producer. I was, in the other hand, in music, that he's brilliant, like his music is genius. That's why I fall in love with him at the beginning. I used to go to shows holding the light for him. So you see a true, not only friendship, but comrades. You know, we are on the same fights against the demolishing house by the Israeli government, the same fights for women rights. We are together politically and artistically. So to create it wasn't let's do something. It was organically grew up from this relationship. Now I admit I use a lot of my good connection that some people like me in New York. So we brought in Oren Moverman, that is maybe the best scriptwriter in America for sure, for music film. You know, he wrote Love and Mercy on the Beach Boys. He made the film on Bob Dylan with six different actors. So he filmed music, and we brought that, and he really helped Tamer and me to build the structure. It's not really help, he was part of it. It's not the minute I asked him to come at the beginning to supervise us, and after a while I said, no, I'll be part of it. And once he became part of it, he's part of it. And his additional knowledge, I really think you see it in the result. And then it wasn't enough for us. We brought, after we edited the film, it looked very arty. Those film many of you like when they come from the third world, you know, the camera moves slow. Very usually that's what I called it, leftist colonialism. You like the third world to show very arty film. And I wanted hip-hop. I didn't want this. And my editor in Israel, that is amazing, no, he want this European cut, very slow, reveal. And then in the end we just brought Jay Rabinovich, and he cut 8 Mile, Requiem for a Dream, Ghost Dog.
A completely different kind of philosophy.
In 2 seconds we fall in love with each other. We just put the music, it was like really, we edit the first, the cut with Jay wasn't a cut about narrative, it was a cut about rhythm. And I feel you really feel it in the film. One of the reasons so many young people also come to this film, I think it's the things they are not aware to, that it's the cut, the rhythm, the how you move from one scene to another, how you take out everything that is just a little bit not necessary is out, you know. And for me it's a great experience, because my previous film were very hyper kind of intellectual, surreal, and suddenly I'm there, I'm on the place, and it was amazing.
But this is intellectual as well. I mean, I don't feel like
but
a non-intellectual.
Not on the front, not on the face of it. You understand? Yeah. No, I don't think it. I see it as a big achievement. I don't put hip-hop against intellectualism. I was have a little bit self-criticism of me before that I put you like riddles, you know. This dream from forgiveness. Yeah, Freud, it's really Freud, he took it from Freud. That was in, I loved the previous film, but that's very different concept, and I have different audience, and it's nice. Even though, and now about the intellectual, even though, and I'm happy, because the people who really heavily support my previous films, like people like Slavoj Žižek, Alain Badiou, like very important philosophers, they praised the new film. They felt that this one really put together all this intellectual knowledge that we had into the real life, into the real language of
cinema. Of course, I mean, you have the perfect form for that kind of story. So I believe that every single piece of narrative needs a specific way of being told, and you got the right way, which was the right editing, the right rhythm, and the right intensity.
Thanks.
I thought, okay, this is my idea. I want to ask you another thing which really struck me a lot, is that your movie is really dense of issues. It's not, I mean, it's, you have many layers of narrative, different stories just going parallel one to the other. And how did you manage in keeping keeping the rhythm with all these things happening at the same time?
It's a very important question, because it's very much against the Sundance structure, you know, what they call...
a Sundance movie.
The Sundance movie, what usually people... That's why I'm so happy that festivals love this film, because I was afraid, because... You know, you usually once said, okay, let's deal with women rights in the Arab society. And you tell one story about one woman that ABC happened to her, something changed, CD. And it can be amazing, but it will never show also... And then you feel that that this place is... This is the truth, the one little story. But it's always a lie, because always the women's rights are abused because of the social economic situation, because of the global politics. And I said, I really want to tell the story of this generation without lying. I'm not doing psychology, it's hip-hop. Hip-hop, it's I give you what I give you.
I want to ask you one last question about one of those issues that you're talking about in your movie that really struck me a lot, which was the demolition of houses that are like forced demolition, or mandatory demolition of houses of Arab-Palestinian for like reason, like state reasons, or can you explain more about that?
Because it's really... I want to put it clear, and I'm tired to be nice. The demolition you saw in the film, for example, it's happened within the Israeli border. Here in Europe, you think this happened in the West Bank, where Israel have occupation law, like illegal laws. But inside Israel, the Arab citizens are equal. And you don't realize that there are Palestinians that have better condition than the one in the West Bank, but they don't have really identity. That's why they go to crime. So there is a systematic justification in mixed city. It's something between gentrification and ethnic cleansing. I don't know yet where it's going to.
Well, thank you very much, Udi, for being with us again with Fred Film Radio. Angela Cherby from the Taormina Festival.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.